Thank you, Dr. Bateman. My name is Tyler Tolles. I'm a grad student under Dr. Angus Ketchot, Dr. Jeff Gore, and I'm working on landscape level contributions of corn for corn earworm populations. So as an introduction, since we've commercially introduced BT crops, we have been able to reduce dependence on foliar sprays and improve yields. Some success stories in cotton: we've controlled tobacco budworm, the pink bollworm, army worms, and loopers. We've had historically pretty good control over the cotton bollworm. In corn, we have great control over the borer complex, the corn earworm in the whorl stage, and pretty good control over corn earworm in the ear stage, but it varies by technology. And in soybeans, we currently have no BT varieties registered in the United States. So refuges, these are used to delay resistance. And what I mean by that is a non-BT corn plant will produce susceptible moths. And in a rare instance, when a resistant moth comes out of a BT corn plant, it will mate with one of the many susceptibles. So refuge systems are extremely important to maintaining the longevity of these traits. So BT crops in the refuge system. In cotton, we use the no-structured refuge, so we rely on natural hosts such as weeds and soybeans. 99% of the cotton in Mississippi contains BT genes. In corn, in cotton-growing areas, there's a 20% structured refuge requirement. And refuge compliance is important due to BT cotton and BT corn sharing a lot of the same BT proteins. So a few examples of that: you've got your BT double pro with your CRY1A105, which is a chimeric gene. It kind of closely relates to that CRY1F. That CRY2AB2 in Herculex, you got CRY1F. Now in BT cotton, Bolgar 2 shares that CRY2AB and that CRY1AC, and Widestrake has CRY1AC and CRY1F. Around 95% of the corn earworms filter through corn before attacking other hosts, specifically cotton. So BT crops in the refuge system, in corn, like I said, cotton-growing areas have 20% structured refuge. However, in non-cotton-growing areas, they can plant a 5% refuge in a bag. This forces compliance. You just throw the bag in the hopper and you go, and it drops those individual little seeds out, as you can see right here on this picture, randomly. So a little bit about the pest, Helicverpa zea. It's a noctuid. It's highly polyphagous. Early instars are cream to white with a black head cap. Color variations variable, sometimes depending on host. And the adults are light yellow with a dark centered spot on the wings. The life cycle, generations depend on location. The hotter you get, the more generations you have. Eggs deposited on the corn silt, and a female can lay up to 3,000 eggs. They hatch in about 3 to 4 days, and the larvae will enter through the husk. Sometimes they clip silks, and they do become cannibalistic as they mature, so normally you see one in the ear later on when they get to the end of their life cycle. The mature larvae will burrow into the soil a few inches where they will pupate, and that lasts for about 2 weeks, and then these will emerge and begin laying eggs within 2 days. So damage: they attack both the whorl and the ear, as I said. They clip off silks and they feed on the tips of the ears. Then they exit and move to the soil to pupate. So my objectives were to identify landscape level contributions of Helicoverpa zea in BT and non-BT field corn, and to also determine if refuge in a bag is a viable option as a refuge strategy in cotton growing areas. So materials and methods. We ran this trial twice so far, 2016 at the Monsanto Learning Center in Scott, Mississippi, and 2017 at the Delta Research and Extension Center in Stoneville, Mississippi. We used 3 varieties of corn for this, just Roundup Ready 2, non-BT corn, BT Double Pro, and Tricepta. So here's my treatments. We have a solid planting of Roundup Ready 2, a solid planting of BT Double Pro, a solid planting of Tricepta, and we had a 90% to 10% Tracepta Roundup Ready 2 corn blend rib. We had an 80-20 rib and a 70-30 that we added in 2017. We did not run that in 2016. So our sampling methods, we examined corn ears for exit holes, and when we felt that most of the larvae had moved out to pupate, we came in and removed rows of corn. We laid out these emergence traps to monitor adult emergence, and they measured about 52 by 42 inches. Here's a better view of that. Here's a little video that Dr. Ketchot took, and that's how we sampled. We took adult numbers. So we had 25 traps per treatment, and they were collected in the cups on the tops of the traps. So this was 2016. This is across all technologies, and it kind of just gives you an idea of what emergence looked like across the growing season. So we started out high, you know, early on, and then we had a lull for about 4 months, and then we right there at the end, we hit we had a rain event, and it triggered some emergence, and it was fairly odd, but it's actually in the literature. Dr. Gore had seen this back in 2002, that after a rain event, they had a, or after a little while of no emergence, they had a rain event and they had more emerge. So this is 2017, started again, started out, and I haven't updated this slide since then, but that's about what it looks like still. So these are total numbers by technology across all sampling dates, 2016. So we saw 8,400 per hectare come out of Roundup Ready, and we saw about half of that come out of VT Double Pro. The 80-20 rib produced about 25%, which is, you know, what we expect, and then that 12% came out of that 10% rib, and we had zero come out of Tracepta altogether. So 2017, we had 2,400 come out of the Roundup Ready 2, and we had 79% of what came out of the Roundup Ready 2 came out of Double Pro this year. 49% was produced by that 30% rib of that Tracepta. 39% was produced by that 20% rib, and 24% was produced by that 10%. We did have one adult moth make it through Tracepta this year. So what we did was we put together a few little cages and stuck them on some Bolgard 2 cotton. This was done in Starkville, Mississippi at the RR Full Plant Research Center. We put up 2 6-by-6-foot cages, and we infested them with 23 HJA adults collected from both BT corn and non-BT corn. So we had a cage for BT moths and a cage for non-BT moths. And this is what we found. We found that the BT corn moths did more damage and laid more eggs than the non-BT corn moths. So kind of what we're thinking is there's actually a fitness advantage for these moths that are coming out of the BT corn. So what to take away? Most corn earworm funnels through BT field corn. And we do not see corn earworm cause significant yield loss in ear stage corn. This seems to be causing selection pressure on our certain BT proteins that we are using in cotton. We believe this is why we are seeing significantly more damage in BT cotton. In short, it appears that corn is causing our cotton problem. With that, I would like to acknowledge my major professors, my university, my funding, my fellow grad students and student workers. And with that, I will take any questions. We did think we missed some that first year. So then this year, we tried to hit it a little bit earlier, but it snuck up on us again, and I think we missed them again. So for future research, I think we're going to try to have an earlier planting date as well, and then try to get those and then move them to a later planning date and try to run it twice. Yes, sir. So the BT corn moths laid more eggs and caused more damage to terminals and squares than the non-BT did. Yes, sir. We've talked about this, and I mean, it possibly could have, you know, made its way from somewhere else, but I can't rule that out, but I also can't say that it didn't. Well, the corn was cut down. I mean, so we just came in and leveled it out and put the cages over top, so we didn't ever really go through the ears, you know, every single ear to see if there was damage in them. But we did have one emerge from that plot. Yes, sir. We didn't sex them or weigh them or anything. Yes, sir. Like I said, we didn't sex them. These came straight out of my research. We pulled them and we infested. And I infested 23 of each because that was just the number I could even it out with. It was not because at the bottom I've got, it wasn't replicated due to lack of adults. I ran out after that, so it'll have to be replicated next year. And that'll be something we'll have to jump on extra early. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, it was just these two did so well, we just wanted to see if we added another with another 10% rib in it, what would happen. And this is what we got. I mean, it produced way more moths than we, or, you know, it should have, I guess. But we're still seeing that it's producing enough moths to justify itself as being a refuge strategy. Yes, sir. Yeah, it wasn't the same. Because we had a lot more emergence this year in 2016 out of the Roundup Ready altogether. And this year, we didn't have near the emergence we had in 2016. I can't really explain an answer to you, but that's what we found.